Good morning. And God bless. I want to thank Reverend Jerry Carr for the privilege this morning to share God's word on healing in the Gospels. That's what I have for you today. We could start in John 14, verse 26. Well, you look beautiful. Some of you smell wonderful. But we all have the smell of the sweet-smelling savor, right? That's right. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four books of the Bible that cover the birth, the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. Some pretty important books. In John 14, 26, Jesus Christ said here, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he or it shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." This is how we got the Gospels. God, by way of Holy Spirit, revelation, brought all these things to remembrance to these men. That's what God wanted recorded. And remember, it's God's word, not man's word. Isn't that great? God didn't have Jesus write a book. God had the men that were with him write the books. First-hand eyewitnesses of the accounts. And these books corroborate, and they're the testimony of the events that actually took place. A true documentary, a proclamation of the awesome good news of our Savior and his life. Luke 4. Luke 4, verse 17, it says, "And there was delivered unto him," Jesus, "the book of the prophet Isaiah." And Isaiah, another book written by revelation. Jesus Christ read about God's word, and he read about himself in the Bible like what we do. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the what?'"
Gospel.
The gospel. Preach the gospel here is to announce a joyful message, to proclaim the gospel, to bring good news, to preach the gospel, to bring good tithings, show glad tithings, bring glad tithings, declare glad tithings, and to announce glad tithings. That was written in Isaiah chapter 61. And it was for this very purpose, for this day. Jesus was the me in that verse. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel. The books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are that declaration of this good news, the glad tidings. Jesus Christ himself was the good news. And Jesus spoke God's word and was announcing the joyful message. The word of God is what comes first, to preach the gospel, to speak his word. The order or pattern that we will see is often in this healing is that the word is spoken, and then the word is believed, and then healing comes. And it's God's word that does the work. So he says, "And he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to what? Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." God sent him to heal the brokenhearted. Heal is to cure, to make whole, to bring about one's salvation. And the brokenhearted, it's people that are broken in pieces, shiver, or people that are just tread down or crushed. It's people who have had their body torn and shattered and their strength shattered. It's to heal the crushed. See, God loves people, and he loves us. It wasn't just the people at the time that Jesus Christ was alive, but it includes us as well. Luke 4, 19 continues here, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. The word that Jesus spoke, these words were gracious words, true words. They had the Savior, the Christ, right in their fellowship that day. That's what Jesus Christ said he came to do. And let's see what he did. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, in verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he what?
Healed them.
He healed them. Healed is to cure, to restore to health. He was doing what he was anointed and sent to do. And then in Matthew 11, verse 4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Jesus Christ got to tell them to go tell John the Baptist that this awesome news. It's happening. It's happening. God's plan of salvation, his plan of redemption, the promised seed that was promised back in Genesis 3:15 was happening. God sent him, Jesus Christ, about 2,018 years ago. And you know, when you think of time, in light of the beginning, it's not all that long ago. Think of God's heart. Think of God's love. You know John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? God wanted you whole. God wanted you to enjoy your life, to be blessed, and to be happy. God has great love, care, and affection for you, his sons and daughters. You see, God wanted a family. You are the reason for creation. I recently have been looking at the universe. I like to look at that stuff, the scale of the universe, because it reminds me of how big God is. And it seems to just keep getting bigger. And you know, the scale of the universe, if the earth was the size of a marble, just our solar system alone would be like 7 miles wide. It's huge. God is huge. And the adversary tricks people into thinking how small and insignificant they are because the universe is so ginormous. Right? Like you're just a speck on the earth. Psh! But that's the opposite of God. You see, the whole reason and purpose for the universe is you. John 4, John 4, 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down, or my child die. That's quite a thing to be asked. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man did what?
Believe.
He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then he inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth. And he himself believed, and his whole house. This is, again, the second miracle which Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. This nobleman, he heard about Jesus. He heard something about this man. And he wanted to go see him. And he went. And he was with Jesus. He was with him. He spoke to him. But his son was like far away. And in this case, the revelation was, go thy way, thy son liveth. There was no need for Jesus to go with him. In this case, no visit. Just the what? The word. Go thy way, thy son liveth. You know, this was very early in the career of Jesus Christ here. This guy was an early investor in believing. He believed. And then the man found out later that that exact time that Jesus said it, that's exactly when he was healed. Mark 5. Mark chapter 5:22. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him. This time, Jesus doesn't say, go, she's healed. He goes with the person. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about the press and said, whoa, who touched my clothes? Must have been a tingle in there. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? Come on, man. The heck. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith, thy believing hath made thee what?
Whole.
Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Oh, well, Jesus Christ just goes the other way, right? No. Verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." And that must have been like stopping a train going 1,000 miles an hour into a wall, stopping it before it hits the wall. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, "Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he took the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with them, and entered in where the damsel was laying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. This time Jesus goes with the person. He doesn't just say the words. Jairus believing was, "Come, lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." That's what this dad believed in his heart. That's what he needed. And then Jesus Christ gets totally interrupted. You ever doing something for God you know is right? You know it's real and the right thing, and then boom, interrupted. This woman, this great woman, she didn't have any words from Jesus. She had heard about him, but she didn't even have any words from him, directly from him. She had believed in her heart that if I may but touch his clothes, that's all I need, and I'll be whole. And she reached out for that power. She reached out and touched for that power, and God honored her believing, and she was made whole. And then Jairus, you know, he's witnessing all this. He's right there, the dad of the girl. And then he gets the most horrible news any parent could ever hear. And then Jesus Christ says, "Be not afraid, only believe." Must have helped a little, Jairus witnessing power shooting out of Jesus' clothes. He was with them. That must have been like, whoa. All right. Must have helped. Then Jesus said, you know, she's just sleeping, and puts everybody out and takes her by the hand and says, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise," and she's healed. It's what God sent his son Jesus Christ to do. To take care of people, to bless them, to heal them. Matthew 8. Verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came to him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." Pretty neat. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say unto this man, go and he goeth, and to another, come and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said, "What?" His facial expression must have been amazing right there. "What?" And said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into utter darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said unto the centurion, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it unto thee." And his servant was healed the selfsame hour, immediately. In this case, Jesus offers to go with him wherever this person was. But he doesn't have to. That must have really blessed Jesus to find such great believing, you know? And wouldn't it be a great goal to just kind of do that to God, make God marvel at your believing? Just make God be like, what? Look at that one right there. Oh, yeah. These records are written in God's word because people believed. Where people didn't believe, Jesus couldn't do these things. That's what it talks about. He couldn't do mighty works where there was unbelief. Mark 2. Verse 1. Again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together. Jesus coming to town, little house, gets blown out, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they came unto him. They came, and they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, man, they let down the bed where the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Whether it's easier to say, easier is with ease and labor to just say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or take up thy bed and walk. It's the same ease. You can just say it. And to God, it's just as easy to forgive sins or to heal. Jesus was doing a fellowship. He was teaching the word. You ever had a fellowship and there's some big distraction? It's like, oh, whoa, okay. This Jesus was doing a fellowship and the roof's opening up. And Jesus, he must have been like, all right, let's see what we got here. And they're dropping him down from the top. And he saw their believing. He probably worked it into his teaching somehow there and worked it out. And many times it's forgiveness of sins that leads to the physical healing. Remember communion. We just recently had communion, where it says, and you don't have to go there, 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. His broken body was for our physical healing. And in the same manner, he also took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup be the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And this was, his shed blood was for the forgiveness and remission of sins. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. By whose stripes, the word stripes is a bruise, a wail, a wound that trickles blood. By his stripes ye were healed. That's to be cured, to be healed, to be made whole, free from error and sin, and to bring about one's salvation. Now, is Jesus Christ the only one that could do these things? Well, look at Luke 9. Luke 9. Verse 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing where?
Everywhere.
These disciples, his guys, his fellowship, must have had some stories when they came back. Jesus must have been so blessed. He gave them power. That's that Greek word dunamis, inherent power, potential power, where we get dynamite from. The power is present and can be put forth. And then that word authority is the Greek word exousia, power delegated, authority to do something. They had permission and license. God sent Jesus, and Jesus sent them, and they did it. They preached the word. That word of God was spoken, the good news, and he healed everywhere. In John 14, 12, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. He that believeth on him, we believe on him, don't we? And did he go? He went unto his Father. He's risen. In Matthew 8, 28, Matthew 28. In verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for he is what?
Risen.
As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The greatest healing of all, from death unto life. Not just for Jesus, but for all of us, all that believe. And to close, Romans 10, 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what?
Saved.
When we believed, we were made whole. Saved means to save, to deliver, to be made whole, to rescue from danger or destruction. It's salvation. It's eternal life. We are no longer broken down or crushed. We are saved. And it's by his stripes that we are healed, or we were healed. That's God's word. That's the good news. Jesus Christ came, and the good news of the gospel, that we get to be healed physically and to be just totally clean spiritually. There's no sin God sees no sin because Jesus Christ paid the full price for all the sin of all of us. And that's what we have in this life. That's why God sent his son. That's what the gospels are all about. And that's what we get to share and experience with others. So that's what I wanted to share this morning.